glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for January 30th, 2025. And today we're talking with Asherita Chuchu. She's a national retreat speaker, also a YouTube Bible teacher, and an author of many books. How about her book, Full Prayers of Rest and Unwrapping the Names of Jesus? And today we're being talking about her latest. It's called Delighting in Jesus, and this is from Moody Publishers. Thank you so much for joining us here on Mark and Friends.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's my joy to be here.
We have to start off with your name. Very unique. And I guess this is a name your parents actually made up for you.
Yeah, my dad made it up before I was even born. It's Hebrew, and it means God is my happiness, or God gives me happiness. And ever since I was a little girl, my parents would tell me the story of how my name was made up, how they prayed it over me as a blessing. Kind of like in the Old Testament, how patriarchs would name their children and have them live into their destiny, live to discover. For me, it's grow up, Asherita, and discover that God is your true happiness. And so from a very young age, these themes and motifs of joy and happiness and celebration and rejoicing, like it just jumped off the page at me when I would read Bible verses or when I'd sing songs in church. It just always kind of resonated with my heart. And I was told, you know, from a very young age, I was told that I'm a very joyful personality, that there's just a sense of radiance, of happiness about me. Not necessarily exuberant or outgoing. I'm not an extrovert. I'm more like a quiet, happy person. Mm-hmm. But it always kind of came natural to me. And so even when I started online ministry more than a decade ago, excuse me, it was natural then to invite women to discover joy in Jesus, because that has been the main theme of my walk with the Lord all these years. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I found myself, Donna, in this really dark season where I couldn't hold on to happiness anymore. I felt like joy was slipping through my fingers. And I think because of what a big theme it's been in my life all these years, it was almost like an identity crisis. Like, who am I? If I'm not joyful, if I'm not happy, if I'm struggling to find joy in the Lord, I believe that it's real. I believe that it's scriptural, like theory. I get it, but where is it? And how do I get it back? And the feelings of feeling like a fraud when on the one hand I'd be, you know, encouraging people to find their joy in Jesus, but I'm over here really, really struggling. That was kind of rock bottom for me.
Right, because the subtitle to this book is Rhythms to Restore Joy When You Feel Burdened, Broken, or Burned Out. So that really makes sense in the theme. Now, you talk about the difference between joy and happiness, and I've always said, oh, you know, joy is Jesus, happiness is happenings. But you're going to challenge that. Tell me about that.
When you look at how Scripture treats these ideas of joy and happiness, Scripture is indiscriminate in its use of the terms. That is, they're interchangeable. The Hebrew words that are translated happiness and joy are actually identical. Sometimes it's translated one way, sometimes it's translated another way. Same way with the Greek words for joy and happiness. In fact, the Hebrew word for blessed, asher, it means happy, rejoicing, content, this sense of well-being. That's what it means to be blessed. It's to find your true joy and happiness in the Lord. And Donna, this makes sense because 1 John tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, and there's no shifting or changing with him. So every good and beautiful thing in this world, whether we call it joy or happiness, it comes from the hand of God. It speaks something of the loving heart of our Father. I think where we get ourselves in trouble is when we seek those things outside of the hand of God.
Yeah, I was just going to make that connection. Because when I seek joy and happiness, it's like water running through my hands.
Right, right. I mean, we see this from the Garden of Eden, right? That it was when woman and man reached out to secure for themselves what they thought God was holding out on them. That's where sin entered the world. That's where, food can be received as a good gift, except if we run to food instead of running to the Lord in trouble, then it becomes an addiction. That same thing with shopping or scrolling on a screen. Like, there are things, whether we eat or drink, if we do it for the glory of God, if we receive these good gifts as a gift from our Creator, and if we enjoy them with our hearts turned toward Him in worship, then it's a beautiful and a blessed experience. But when we try to hoard for ourselves pleasurable feelings, turning from the Lord, that's where idolatry, addiction, shameful behavior, these burdens, the burnout, all of these things come from living in a broken world. But we can contribute to that when we seek our joy, our happiness, our pleasure, anywhere but in the Lord first. We seek Him first, we get everything else on top of it.
Mm. And all these things will be added unto you when we seek Him. Now, you bring up three robbers of delight, and they can steal our joy. Now, what are the robbers? And have you experienced this loss of joy in your own life, which I assume you have, because otherwise maybe you wouldn't have tried to identify these robbers. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So, just a few minutes ago, I mentioned that I'd found myself in that dark place. And some of it is, I think, living in a broken world, a world that is touched by sin and evil. Some of what can steal our joy is, I think, brokenness is one of those robbers. It's our own brokenness. It's the sin in our own lives that can lead to destruction. It's other people's brokenness and hurt people, as cliche as that is. Like, I've been hurt by people who are very dear and near to me. And that's part, again, of living in this world. I think busyness can steal our joy as well. It's nearly impossible in my experience and in my research to receive joy and to be in a place of well-being unless your heart is at rest. Even if there might be chaos around you in the world around, or even though things might not go the way we want them to, if our heart is at peace with the Lord, if we are in a place of rest in His presence, that is where joy can flourish. But if we are filling every moment of our day with noise, with screens, with tasks to do, or the next pursuit of happiness, whatever it is that we are chasing down, we can be so busy that even our bodies burn out. Like, we experience chronic fatigue.
Yeah.
This generation, so much anxiety, depression, insomnia, so many physical markers that I've experienced as well. And a lot of it has to do with our constant hustle. That can also steal joy. And I'll say some of that too, is this, just the burdens that we carry. And, I alluded to food earlier. My first book was on the topic of food addiction or food fixation. Like, when we don't deal with a hurt in our hearts and we self-medicate, whether with food or screens or shopping or drink or whatever it is that we turn to kind of push down those feelings of unease, the heavy burdens that we carry, those, again, become harmful patterns and steal our joy. But the good news, Donna, is that Jesus has come to carry the weight of our burdens, to deal with the effects of sin, to declare freedom to the captives and liberation to those who are in bondage. And so all of these robbers of joy don't stand a chance before our Lord. He is the one who can restore to us the joy of His salvation. He's the one who can set us free and allow us to eat, Psalm says, at His table of delights and drink from the water of life that offers refreshment to our souls.
That's a good word. So really, I heard brokenness, I heard burdens. Yeah, within those robbers.
Yeah, the busyness. Busyness. The burnout.
Yeah. Burnout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The bees. It's all bees.
I'm a bit of a word nerd, so I had to.
I love that. And it's easy to remember, you know, in our everyday life, just to be on the lookout. Like, am I overly burdened? Am I experiencing this brokenness?
Yeah, I love that David says in Psalm 42, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so sorrowful within me? And then he goes on to say, put your trust in the Lord, for I will yet praise him. But I think sometimes that first part, that why are you downcast, O my soul, we can easily think like, oh, you shouldn't be downcast. You have every reason to be joyful. And sometimes I think we can kind of bypass the issue. Maybe instead we can read that and say, okay, let's get honest with God. Like, what is going on? Why am I downcast? What is stealing my joy? What's going on in my life? God already knows, but he invites us to get honest with him and to tell him those things, to put our finger on them. Or maybe we don't even know. And so we ask, God, would you search me? Would you know me? Would you point me in the right direction? Would you lead me in your path everlasting? And whatever it is that's sucking the joy out of my life, whatever it is that's keeping me from your presence, help me figure it out. Why am I downcast? Give me wisdom. Help me discover the truth. And then would you restore that delight in me? Would you show me? Would you help me to trust that you will once again, Psalm 13, I love, restore the sparkle to my eyes, God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes. Help me to trust that you will indeed restore my joy.
You talk about rhythms of delight in your book. Maybe explain one or two of these rhythms, because that might help us re-engage with the joy that the Lord would have for us.
Yeah, these rhythms came from my own experience. As I cried out to God and asked him to restore joy, this is how he accomplished that. And I like to think of these rhythms of delight in terms of how we nurture our friendship with Jesus. So something that, you know, if you spent any time at all in church, you'll know that reading the Bible is important. And indeed, it is the revelation of God in our hands. Like, what a privilege we have. And yet it can also become a religious burden. Yeah. It can become a checklist of, did I read my Bible today? Am I on track? Am I behind? Am I stuck somewhere in Leviticus and I don't get it? Like, what's with all the blood and the sacrifices, and how is this supposed to help me today? And I think reframing some of these spiritual disciplines in terms of learning to delight in Jesus can make a big difference. So I talk about, for example, the rhythm of the word. How we delight in the revelation of who God is. This is as simple on the one hand as simply learning to ask, pause, read a few verses and pause and ask, what does this tell me about God? What does this reveal about his heart? Or if you're reading through the Gospels, instead of pushing through to read multiple chapters and just kind of cover ground, there's a time and a place for that. I've read the Bible through in a year multiple times, and I think it's important that we become biblically literate.
Yeah.
But Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, you read the scriptures and you know them and you do well, but these are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And Donna, in my own reading of the Bible, in those dry seasons, I realized, like, I was reading the scriptures and I was missing Jesus. Mm. And so to turn that on its head is to nurture that relationship with Jesus, that friendship with him, to say, God, would you open my eyes to see the beauty of who you are on this page? Would you open my heart to receive the truth of what you want to reveal about yourself? Let Jesus become more precious to me as I savor the words on the page, not just pushing through to get a task done, but truly sitting in the Lord's presence, asking his spirit to lead us, to reveal himself to us. What a beautiful moment, a time of friendship to sit and be taught by God's own Spirit as we sit with the Word. So that's one rhythm of five that, you know, can look different in different seasons. It might be that you listen to, I spent a year listening to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, and 8, every morning. It takes 18 minutes. I would play it on my audio Bible, and I would just let the words of Jesus wash over my heart and my mind and my imagination and immerse myself in his teachings about his kingdom. And that looked different than the time that I read through the Gospel of Matthew with my children, just a couple paragraphs at a time at the breakfast table. And we sit with that question, what does this teach us about Jesus? Or maybe it's memorizing one verse, and you work on that one verse for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And as you continue to hide his word in your heart, you're thinking about, oh, how does this teach me the goodness, the wonder, the majesty of the Lord? As we do this, as we, Psalm 16 says, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So as we learn to seek God's face, as we meditate on scripture, he will begin to stir up his joy and his delight in our hearts.
That's a great word, delight. I think maybe something that takes the joy from our life is to think that we're dealing with a God who is punitive and who is exacting and who is constantly judging us and, you know, saying, you're not good enough, you know, do this, do that, and then I'll accept you. And I do feel like it's important for us to know as believers, we've done the one thing, you know, the one thing is taking Jesus as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit now living inside of us. We have his very presence. I think it's hard to make that jump sometimes when we were maybe raised in a more strict and, you know, punitive environment to say, God delights in me. Mm. And I feel like that's what I need to be reminded of, that I'm okay with God. He loves me. And I think, you know, when it comes to spending time with crabby people or people you don't really think are on your side, you don't want to. And I think sometimes we've got this skewed view of God, and it's this Old Testament view of God. You address some of that too, don't you?
Yeah, I think sometimes we think that the Old Testament God is this angry and vengeful God, and here comes Jesus in the New Testament, and he's gracious and loving and kind. But God is one and the same. John 1 says that no one has ever seen God, but Jesus, his son, he has made him known. We know what God the Father is like by looking at the life of Jesus, truly one God in three persons. And so what we see in the life of Jesus is actually an earthly reflection of the Father's heart in the Old Testament as well. So one God filled with love, with mercy and compassion. In fact, when Moses asks God to reveal his glory to him, God reveals himself as a God compassionate and merciful and kind to the 10th generation, extending loving kindness and forgiving sins. That is how God sees himself. That is how God defines himself, is through this lens of infinite love and mercy and kindness. So I think we need to take our view of God and ask ourselves, why do we think God is that way? And then again, go to scripture and say, okay, how does God present himself? Who does God say he is? And Donna, from Genesis 1, the picture of God that we have is a creator overflowing with love and delight and joy.
All I ever wanted was someone to care for me, someone to always be there for me, right through the good and the bad. Spent a long time hoping that just one time, a portion of love I would find, and you came along and gave me so much more. Above and beyond my needs, your love is carrying me. I was not strong enough.
Just a cup of water was all that I needed. All alone in my darkness I pleaded for someone to answer my call. Then your love washed away all the pain. The moment I called out your name, you filled up my heart.
We've been enjoying the ministry of Asherita Chuchu. She's the author of Delighting in Jesus, and she has so much more encouragement and information to share with us. So we're going to do a part two next week. Be sure to tune in, and you can always revisit any Mark and Friends you'd like. They sit there on our website in an easy-to-listen and downloadable format of MP3. Click on anytime you like and share it with a friend. We're Mark and Friends, a ministry of great news media. God bless you and have a great day.